This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006!
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team! What a ride! The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal Nation. Welcome to this Thursday edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast. I'm your host, Jim Cromer. Let me welcome in my cohort in crime, Steve Flowers. What's going on?
My man, where do we go from the skies falling to we're right as rain, and then we got rain, right?
Well, it's interesting because the show today, we sit around, you can only talk about the same thing you feel like so many times, right, before it's like people are tired of hearing about it. But some of these things are a broken record. Now, what interests me sometimes, and I enjoy our fans and I enjoy Cardinal fans and following them on Twitter and Facebook. I want to talk a little bit today, and I've already kind of gave Benji a heads up that when we get him in here in a minute on the m4byyachty.com hotline that, you know, one of the great things about having him on this show is the insight that he provides behind the scenes. I think that we would classify as Benji as anything but a yes man. He says what's on his heart. He says what's on his sleeve. He's going to give us his thoughts, respectfully, of course. But I really want to get that from him because I'm as frustrated as anybody over it. I'm not looking to blame anybody for it, though, whereas, again, we're back to what I've always said. We're immediately blaming the manager because, in my opinion, I'm going to give you my before we even go any further. Some of these guys just aren't good enough. Okay, that's it. They're just not going to be defensive stalwarts. And I don't care who you bring in here. You can bring all the Ozzie Smiths, the Willie McGees, you can fire Mike Matheny tomorrow, and you can bring Jose Oquendo up here. I don't think Aledmys Diaz is going to play shortstop at a high level in the MLB. I don't think Jose Martinez is a first baseman. I'm not sure Matt Carpenter is a first baseman. The bottom line is, the club talked about giving us a better defensive team, but the club gave us the same players, and we assumed that these guys were going to get better. I, like everybody else, hoped they got better by working with these guys. What they've proven is that may not be the case. Now, I'm not writing anybody off or saying it's over, but we're going to get to all that in a minute, and especially, again, and I've already given him a heads up, it's really what I want to talk to Benji about today because I'm not saying that we're misinformed as fans. But I am curious because I've got some points on it and I want to get his thoughts. Before we go to Benji, I want to remind everybody to make sure they check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. It is the website where you'll find the podcast. You can also subscribe, which is absolutely free. Just click subscribe to the podcast. It'll walk you through it based on your mobile provider. Boom, you get a notification every time we put out the show. It's absolutely free and it is a great way to help us support the show. Social media is obviously where we get a lot of the information from you guys as fans. Gives us the opportunity to also be a part of what you want to talk about. So, for instance, again, we're going to talk heavily today about the defensive problems that the St. Louis Cardinals cannot seem to get away from. The main reason we're going to talk about it today is, one, I'm frustrated with it. I guarantee you Benji's frustrated with it, and I guarantee you you're frustrated with it if you pay attention at all to social media. So please follow us at Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show. We would greatly appreciate it if you would follow us and share the show around. It is the way the show has grown, thanks to you guys and your support. That continued support is how we'll continue to grow this thing. Facebook as well, just type in Two Birds on a Bat, like our page. If you see something on there, share it around, just in an effort to reach all the great Cardinal fans. We would appreciate it. And again, it's our goal to involve you in the show if you'd like to be involved. Another way to do it, the great Facebook pages and groups that are out there, we've started our own Birds on a Bat. Just type it in, join, invite all your friends. We want it to be a community where people can come, voice their opinions, read some great articles, be a part of the fabric that is Cardinal Nation. That's Birds on a Bat. Special thanks, of course, to the great Facebook pages and groups that have helped make the show what it is. Our partner in crime, Nate McHenry, over at RallySquirrel.com. Love having him on every week. Love what the Rally Squirrel Club's doing. If you want to learn more about it, just go to Facebook and type in RallySquirrel.com. That is a great Facebook page. Chris Lawless over at Cardinal Nation is awesome as well. Really appreciate him. And, of course, the Cardinal Freak, who's always sharing our stuff as well. And lineupmedia.fm, the fastest-growing podcast network on the planet. If you're into podcasting, which you obviously are, you're listening to us, check them out, lineupmedia.fm. I guarantee you, they take your entertainment time very seriously. There will be another podcast that you'll be interested in. So give them a look-see. I want to get right into this today, Steve-O, as I know it's a touchy subject because we're watching it with our own eyes. I don't even need a stat. I don't need a stat. This is another example of how I don't need your stats. I can see for myself what's going on here. I don't need to be an ex-player. I don't need to be a major league manager. I certainly don't need to be a media member who I'm tired of, by the way. Okay? I don't need any of that to know that we just don't play good defense, and I'm not sure we're ever going to. So on that note, I want to bring in the man himself. And like I said, I've already warned him that I'm going to be all over this today and need his thoughts and opinions. So let's bring in Benji Molina, our other co-host on the M4byYachty.com hotline. Benji, you there?
Yeah. Thanks for having me again, guys. And I wanted to say something for the fans. This guy right there talking, he did it on one breath.
Yeah.
That was one breath, man. That's amazing.
I'm fired up, if you can't tell. And, you know,
Yeah.
And you know, I know I'm not a dummy, and the fans aren't dummies, okay? We're not going to sit here and railroad players. I'm not going to put you in that spot. I mean, you got to look a lot of these guys in the eye. And but you call a spade, right? And the bottom line is we're just not very good defensively. Now, not being very good defensively means that we're all fans, commentators, like Steve and I, former players like yourself who love the team and have a natural connection because of your brother, we're all frustrated, right? Am I crazy? Or it's totally okay to be frustrated.
It is frustrating, especially for fans, because most of the fans that never played a game or doesn't understand how things work inside the clubhouse or inside their head, inside the kids' heads, like we're going to talk about, they might not understand it that good. So for them, it's even more frustrating. For me, as a former player, and I know how that is, I think it's more a case of it's in their heads. One of the cases. Okay, so it's in their heads. They know that they've been messing up on the defense, so they work so hard at it, and all of a sudden they make an error, and all of a sudden it's in their heads, man, and everybody else probably thinking the same. It's like, okay, am I going to be next or who's next, you know, and I don't want to mess up. I really don't want to mess up. So it could be a case of just thinking too much and like in their heads, like putting pressure on themselves because of the defense. But also we got to go to another topic or another subject, however you want to call it, but they might be playing out of position. How do we understand that? How, as fans, all they're trying to do is put in the right lineup out there so they can have a, you know, like a productive lineup, and some people like they understand how they are, and they cannot feel like Matt Adams. We were talking about Matt Adams and how Matt Adams is not a left fielder. That's a lot of pressure on that kid. Then you put Martinez in first base. He's not used to. Yes, he might make the catches. He might make the plays. But a tougher play that a normal first baseman will make, we're asking for that guy to do it. And he might not be able to. Maybe Diaz. Maybe Diaz is not supposed to be playing shortstop. Maybe he's a third baseman. It might be easier for him. Maybe Jerko is not a third baseman. He's playing out there. He's a second baseman. So you have all these kids that are literally playing out of position. We're not looking for excuses. These sometimes are balls that they should make, so plays that they should make. But it could be playing into their brains, man. It could be in their heads. Like, I don't want to mess up so bad that when the ball goes to them, they get tight, and that's what happens. So we got to see all the points around what's going on, you know?
Yeah, I'm back to, you know, fans are frustrated, okay? And I get upset when I watch social media. And again, this is where people like to get on me a little bit because I don't want to jump on the manager. I'm critical of the manager like anybody is when I see some of the things. Where I'm going with all this is, and this is why I say, and you just brought it up, and I'm sitting here already while you're talking, writing down the positions, right? Because I want to know. I want to know what we're going to do, right? So I want to look at the team as it's constructed, which is where my angst has always been with this club. I have said this is the second year in a row now that I've looked at my friend Steve, and I've looked at, and I told you this when we became friends and we were talking about it, and I've told anybody that'll listen. I don't like the way this club is constructed, okay? We have too many maybes. You can have some maybes when you've got Albert Pujols batting third, when you've got Yadi catching, when you go out and get Lance Berkman, when you've got Jim Edmonds in center field, when you've got Scott Rowland at third base. When you've got these guys that fill out these core positions and you can lean on, you can go have a maybe. Okay? When you got Matt Holliday and Albert Pujols in the lineup, you can have some maybes. But right now what you've got is a whole team of maybes. So why is anybody surprised of what we're seeing? I want to know who the defensive – here's what I want to know from all of our fans out there. Who is this defensive stalwart that this management has ruined? Who is the guy that was a defensive stud that we have – that our manager or our GM or whoever has went to and said, we don't put an onus on defense here. Just go out and have a good time. Because that's not what's happened here. I can start in left field with Grichuk. There's a reason why you're drafted before Mike Trout and then you're traded. Okay? It means there's something about your game that you're not anymore a top prospect. Otherwise, you don't get traded. I assure you that as I sit here today. Okay? Now, we all like Dexter Fowler. I think he's been fine in center field. I think he's going to hit better. That's a total another question. Steven Piscotty has never been a gold glove outfielder, to my knowledge, anywhere. He should have caught the ball the other night that went over his head. He looked like Nelson Cruz in the World Series. The play looked almost identical. He should have caught the ball.
If I'm not mistaken, he's a third baseman in Stanford, right?
I have no
idea. I think he played third base in college.
I think his best position is first base, which I'm going to get to later on. Okay. All right, Matt Carpenter's played how many positions now at the big league level? And while I think he's performed adequately at some of them, he's not a gold glover in any of them. Colton Wong looks like Roberto Alomar one day, and then the next day he looks like me trying to play second base. Aledmys Diaz, God love him, I just don't think is. I think he's played a lot of shortstop, but I just don't think he's great. Jed Jerkel will give you effort no matter where he plays. The bottom line here is what I want to know from everybody is, why can't we just say, the players may just not be that good defensively.
It might not be. It might be that answer right there for everybody. It might be. I don't want to. I don't want to sit here and have a thought in my head that, you know, of that kind, because they're in the major leagues, man. And it's really hard for me, being a former major leaguer and a minor leaguer for 6.5 years. And you have guys that can play the position down there, and they never get the chance. They never get the chance. They're hitting 300 down there. They're catching the ball down there. They're doing everything they can. They're really true infielders or whatever the case is. But they never get the chance. But then here we go with some guys in the league, around the league, that they put in there, like we were just saying. Like, we have a third baseman, and I think it's a very good one. He's just not playing well. Peralta, and then he get hurt. So we have a second baseman, Wong. He's a second baseman, and he's not playing well, you know, like defensively sometimes, and we can have that. We have a guy that they put at short, which I think is okay, but obviously we've seen him not getting better at defense, you know. So we have a guy at first, many guys at first, by the way, many guys, Adams, Carpenter, and Martinez. Martinez, Carpenter, they don't play that position. Just don't forget that. It's not easy to come from somewhere else and do these things. And they don't play that position, so it's a lot of pressure in those kids. Adam, he's always probably being a first baseman, and I like how he plays.
And he's a good first baseman. He's a good first baseman, but nobody wants him in the lineup. And I get it.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, and then in the outfield, like you said, I didn't know about Piscotty being a third baseman or a first baseman or something. You know, I didn't know that. Even brings the question even higher. Like Fowler, he's going to be Fowler. I like him. He's a good center fielder. He's fine. He didn't hit 350. He didn't hit 330. He didn't hit 305 last
year. He's never hit that.
Well, don't get mistaken, because everybody puts him in this pedestal like, oh, man, this is the man and this is the guy. But don't forget, he haven't hit 300. So he's 275, 280. I hope and I wish him the best, and I wish that he hits 300 for us, 315 or whatever it is, because we need him. And then you have Grichuk, like you said. You know, he's a good outfielder. He's not bad. He's good out there. But that's who we have. This is one thing for the fans out there that are listening to us. Guys, this is what we have. And if you don't know by now that these kids are going to commit some errors, you're watching the wrong game. There's no way Mike Matheny can go play short. There's no way Mike Matheny can go play second, and we can go on and on. There's no way Mike Matheny makes a pitch. And Mike Matheny, you want to criticize Mike Matheny? Criticize him for taking out a pitcher too early, for criticize him for taking a pitcher too late, or bringing the wrong guys from the bullpen, because those are his decisions. Or pinch hitting a lefty against a left-hander pitcher, or something like that. Those are his decisions. If you want to criticize Matheny, that's the way to criticize him right there. You go ahead and do it. But don't criticize him for errors. He had nothing to do. He's a hyped-up guy. He's the guy who always keep these guys up high. You know, like, come on, guys, we can make this play. Let's go. Come on. He's the guy who always, always positive out there. He cannot go out and play for them. And we got to understand that. Stop blaming Matheny for anything. If you want to blame, like I said, blame Matheny for the lineup. Blame Matheny for pitching changes or whatever, because that's the one he controls. The other ones, the physical ones, the guy who strikes out, the guy who gets to a double play, the guy who does this or do that, we cannot even bring Matheny up in that conversation. So that's the way it is.
Well, and that's where I want to go with this. So, and again, it's 140 characters in a tweet. So when I see these things, I can only imagine what people are thinking. So number one, and this is the very first thing, okay? Mike Matheny was a catcher and a damn good one at that, correct?
Yeah, he was awesome.
Okay. The last I checked, it's probably not in his wheelhouse to teach guys how to play shortstop. Would that also be correct?
I think so. I think it's correct. After a while, after watching that many guys teaching, after talking to that many instructors and infield instructor about what they want, he could help. He could help a little. He's not going to help him become an Ozzie Smith, but he can help a little. You know, he knows a little bit of what he's doing and things like that. I could be a pitching coach right now, and I'm a catcher, but what I listened to all my career was the pitching coach. So I could be a pitching coach if I want to, but I cannot make that pitcher better because I'm not in there and I haven't done it.
Well,
that's the thing.
Yeah, and kind of where I was going was, this is an organization that has for years leaned on Jose Oquendo to work with guys defensively. Well, obviously last year he has the injury. This year he chooses to want to stay close to family and be in Florida, but the guys have worked with him. They've reached out and they've had Ozzie Smith in. They've got Willie McGee in camp now or in town working with guys. They brought up, I believe it's Mike Schild is his name, who is a known teacher of the game. So to assume that they're not working on these things would be incorrect, would be the statement.
Oh, they're working so hard at it, you don't even know. they're doing anything in their power to get these guys to play better defense. I bet you anything. I could bet all I have, all I belong, all I own, I could bet you on it. They're trying to get them better.
So the fans that are listening to this are going, well, then what's going on? Because it's not getting any better. And we want to blame somebody. And we want to blame somebody, Benji. We've got to blame somebody. So whose fault is it?
Well, I think it's what we just discussed at the beginning. Remember what you were saying? Like, guys might not be – we expect guys to be, like you said, we expect Wong to be a Robbie Alomar. He's not Robbie Alomar. We expect Diaz to be Ozzie Smith. No, he's not Ozzie Smith. We expect Jerko to be a Caminiti out there. He's not. And then we expect Carpenter at first base to be a freaking Hosmer. There's no chance. He's not. So that's what we come here to that point. When you ask me that question, it's not that I want to say they're not that good because they're in the major leagues and they're really good players, but they might be. We just have to understand they might not get that great. They might not be that great. And all of a sudden, we have to deal with it as much as we can. We got to keep working with the guys and trying to make him better, trying to make him an Ozzie Smith, trying to make him an Alomar. But in the end, they are the one who's showing us, not us. We're not talking this, like you just said at the beginning. We're not saying this because this is what we believe or whatever. They are showing us with all the errors and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. They are showing us that they are not ready for that position, or they're having mistakes, or they're pressuring themselves so hard. You know, that's what this thing is going.
Well, and again, I look at it, and, you know, we know what we need. I mean, we're struggling here. We got to play better. You know, the game the other night's an example. You know, I mean, we basically give it away. We really did. We just gave it away. And that's frustrating for fans, and I understand that. So what it comes down to for me is, how do we fix that? Can we fix it? I don't know. It's like they're going to get as good as they can get. That's kind of how I feel. A guy can work harder and get better, but is better enough? And that's kind of what it comes down to for me. And again, I think we as fans, we can start with Aledmys Diaz. Aledmys, I guess, to make sure I pronounce his name correctly. And thank you to you for explaining that to me. So Aledmys Diaz. Okay, if he, you know, we all think he can hit, and he's proven to swing the bat fairly well. He plays decent, but, I mean, the bottom line is he just doesn't make the plays that the top-end defensive shortstops in the league play. So, again, maybe shortstop's not cut out for him. The issue becomes this. If he doesn't play short, who does? That's my problem.
Let me tell you this. Yeah, that's the main question, too. But let me tell you this for everybody out there. How many of those guys do we have in the infield? How many of those guys that you just described, Aledmys Diaz, right now, how many of those guys do we have in our infield?
All of them. I would say all of them are suspect defensively. Now, people, again, we have seen flashes of great defense from Colton Wong, and I am the first to admit that. I've also seen him make routine ground ball errors, and that leads me to believe that he may have a mental issue, which is fine, which hopefully he can get over. I like Colton Wong. We need Colton Wong. I'm just not convinced he can do it every day at the major league level. I hope he proves me wrong because we need him.
Yeah, and the fans out there, they need to understand that too. We are fans. We are fans. We want these kids to play good. We want these kids to play better. We want these kids to be good. We're not trying to dog anybody here. I hope you guys understand that, the listeners and everybody. We're not dogging anybody. We're not talking crap about anybody. We're just trying to find a way to see and figure it out how they can become better, because the number one reason I always thought about since I played, We're not going to win a championship if we don't have good defense. Just remember that. We're not going to win if we don't have a good defender team. And I believe that 100%.
Okay, so, you know, we've kind of identified that basically we may have a personnel issue. And not like they can't play. It's just that I don't know that anybody on this team would be what we would classify as a defensive stalwart. That's the only way I can describe it. So we have to play the hand we're dealt. So,
well, not only Jim, I wanted to say something real quick. It came to my mind. When not only those errors can lose your game, of course, you know, it can make the other teams easier to win or whatever. They can make you lose the game. But you got to think about the pitching. How many extra pitches is he going to throw? Instead of having a guy go out and throw 8 innings, which saves you the bullpen, no, he has to throw 6 because of those errors add up to the pitch count. So it plays, the errors plays into many other things of the game, other factors of the games, you know. So just by not having the defense, like we could have Waino go 7 or 8 and save that guy for the bullpen for next day. No, we got to use everybody today because he only could have go 6 because of a couple errors and things like that. So the good teams, like I said, the really good teams play good defense, and they win a lot of games because of the defense, and that's what we're focusing on today.
Now, we also talked earlier in the year that while we have to put an onus on defense, you've also got to hit a little bit. So you've kind of got a rob Peter to pay Paul thing here going on. You know, I don't know. I mean, again, I get back to what the whole premise of this discussion is. It seems like everybody wants to blame somebody. Like there has to be a scapegoat here. Like there has to be somebody we can put our frustration on. I want somebody that I can be mad at because these are my Cardinals and we deserve better. I just don't know that that's realistic other than, I mean, I guess if you want to be mad at the guy that put the team together, you can be mad at him because he put his faith in these guys and they're letting him down. I don't know. I don't know. But fans want to be upset with somebody.
It's hard, man. It's hard to be upset with somebody that doesn't play out there. Yeah, like you said, if the guy put the team together and this is what he come up with, and then you could be mad at that if you want to see it that way. But, man, this is the guys that we have. This is who – and 2 weeks from now, these are going to still be our guys. And a month from now, these are still going to be our guys. That's what we're saying, that – we got to somehow we got to keep supporting them, and we have to keep praying that they get better, man. But it could be a hard work, you know, awakening for everybody because the things that we said, there's a lot of kids playing out of position. They may be pressuring themselves. You know, I don't know, man. I think there could be so many things, and we're just trying to figure it out.
Okay. So I guess, how do I put this? I think that I believe listening to you talk and realizing what goes on around the game of baseball that, and I also know that you do have aspirations to be a manager someday. So what do you do? I mean, can you do anything more than what they're doing? I mean, that's the question at the end of the day, is I think there's a lot of fans that think they just don't work on it. I mean, what do you do?
You know what?
You just keep working.
You know what? If I was the manager, obviously, the keep working part doesn't even come to question because they're going to keep working every day. That doesn't even need to be mentioned. They're going to work their butt off every single day to get better and make their defense better. I know that. But if I were a manager on a team that has struggled in the defense, I would look at it really, really careful, and I would go to the GM and the owner, and we'll have a meeting. And this is just me, right? You know, this is... I'm not saying they should do it or not. This is just me. And I would ask him the question, you know, hey, where do you want to get? Like, where are we trying to accomplish here? Are we trying to accomplish develop players? Are we trying to accomplish to win the division? Are we trying to accomplish to win the World Series? What are we trying to accomplish? Because if it's the way that we're playing ball right now, some of these kids are out of position, some of these kids that we're trying. And I don't blame Matheny. Matheny's trying to remember the way we started. And all of a sudden, why nobody gives Matheny the props or the price. Why doesn't price him? Because he changed everything. He changed the lineup. He changed everybody. He started putting Jericho in. He started putting all these kids in. And what happened? They had a good series. They had a good week. But nobody seems to understand when he does good, right? They always understand when he does, when they think that he did wrong or something like that. It's easier. I always say this, and it's really true. It's easy to criticize somebody, and it's really hard to praise somebody. You know what I mean? So if I'm a manager, I would go out and say to these guys and say, hey, listen, to the GM, and I say, where are we going? Because obviously the defense is not, it's not there. Do we have to look for minor league guys? Are we going to try to trade for somebody that's going to balance the whole defense or something? But, you know, that's what I would have done. I don't know if it would have worked good. I don't know if it's going to save the season or whatever. But that's what I would have done, just to have a thought on my head. And another thing, Jimbo and Steve-O, that we need to think about here, just remember, every team has these problems. It's not only us. Look at the Cubs, because that's our rivalry, right? Look at the Cubs. You hit a ball to left field, and you're praying that that guy catch it, and Schwarber. You hit a ball to right field, and you're praying for Sorbet, or is that his name?
Zobrist.
Zobrist.
Zobrist. Yeah, I'm sorry that I just mixed all the names. But Zobrist, you're praying for that guy to catch that fly ball or the line drive. He's not good out there either. And then you put him at second base, he's not a gold glove either. He makes a lot of errors in the infield. I mean, every team has put guys out of position at some point. And some other teams has more than others. And we have to understand, this is not only a problem for the Cardinals. The Cardinals, it looks that we have a problem because we're the one making the errors. But if that happens to the other teams, I'm sure it does. And I'm telling you guys, if you have guys that have not played a position as much as the other position they're good at, they're going to have trouble, man, if they're playing out of position. You put Adams in left, he's going to have trouble. I understand why they're doing it, for the lineup, lefty bat on it. But he's going to have troubles with some balls because he's not used to doing that. You know, so that's the only thing I can see of the whole situation we're going through right now. And we do need to get better, and that's not an option.
Well, you know, again, I think my issue has been and always will be is the assumption from some people that that management doesn't care or that they're not working, because that's just simply not true. And my question to all these people, and they're free to send in a tweet at me or whatever they want to do, is, and Steve, I'd love your thoughts on this. It's completely fine if you want to say that this team, if you want to take the stance that this team doesn't put an onus on defense, because, you know, they tell you they're going to do it, but then they go make all the errors. But now we're back to the chicken and egg thing comes first. Don't you have to be able to play good defense to put an onus on defense?
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's not like Ozzie Smith sitting on the bench and they're playing the Ledmi Stias. That's my point.
Right.
See, there's my thing. It's real easy to criticize, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, they don't have the defensive replacement that's going to come off the bench,
right,
for anybody. You know, my frustration is when you make a great play and you make a bad throw, and then the receiver on the other end makes a bad play. I mean, I wish I could, you know, and Benji hit on it. You can't really go back and say, well, this game, I mean, you can go back and say, hey, this one actually did cost you the game, but you can't say this error didn't cost you the game, because if the pitcher had to throw 8 or 10 extra pitches, or, you know, all of a sudden you get a situation where you don't have the double play. My frustration is that it just keeps compounding and happening, and it's not like you're turning on the TV and you know that, hey, you know what? We might go air free. You're turning on the TV saying, "Boy, I hope we hold it under 2 airs tonight."
Yeah, and again, so if you really look at it and you try to dissect the situation so that you can look for somebody, again, we as fans have all at one time or another through the course of this season wanted whoever they put out there to take them out and put somebody else in, and they've done that. Now, Benji brought that up, you know, well, where's the credit for Matheny? He did make those hard decisions. Well, a lot of fans will say, well, he didn't make those decisions. Mo made him do it. That's another one. Benji, if you're the manager, is the GM going to tell you what you're going to do with your club?
Oh, I got to laugh at that one. I really don't believe that GM comes down, and the only time that the GM will come down on the manager is who to bring up or who to send out or who has options or who are we going to lose if we would send down, something like that. That's what they talk about. Regardless of the team and the lineup, that's what Martini's getting paid. That's what the bench coach getting paid. John Mabry, they talk it over and they say, hey, I think these guys could hit this better. Mo got nothing to do with the lineup. Mo got nothing to do with who's pitching today, who wins the whatever. Just get that out of your head, please. As fans, just do yourself a favor. Matheny makes the lineup. Matheny makes the changes and all that. Mo is controlling who comes in, who goes out, who to send back out, who to trade, who to sign. Everything, but in the game itself, please just get that out of your head. Mo, that had nothing to do with Martinez in the game, you know, like a lineup and stuff. So with that being said, do yourself a favor and don't think about that. But it's hard, like I said, it's hard to praise a guy and it's really easy to criticize. But anyway, going back to the errors, I'm going to tell you this for the fans out there too. Everybody in the team works so hard for defense to make their routine plays. Listen carefully. Everybody works their butt off to make what? Their routine plays. Now, not everybody can make the extended plays. Not everybody can make the outstanding plays. Not everybody can come in a high chopper and get it with the bare hand and throw the guy out at first. Not everybody has range to their position. Understand that, please. Everybody trains for their routine plays, and they should all be able to make their routine plays, all of them. I don't care who you are. Anything routine, you work your butt off to make that play. Now, if we ask him to make the extended one, the one that gets a base hit, almost base hit, you die for it, you throw the guy out. Now, I don't know. That's another thing that we got to discuss. But the guys work hard just for that thing, for the routine plays. If they cannot get the base hit or make a play to the side or a little bit farther out because they're out of position, it's really hard to do.
Right, and we notice that a lot of times there's errors. They're not given errors. There was a hard hit ball.
Plays
not made.
That's my favorite.
Which is going to lead us into one, a play not made, with a little Superman dive over Yachty the other day. And BMO, we went back and forth on text a little bit that night. You're feeling on that slide rule. I mean, Yachty was in a vulnerable position where he could have really gotten we could have seen the only guy that we have out there for defense that is our stalwart that's there every day. He could have really been punished had we not had the quote-unquote no contact rule, no blocking a plate rule at the major league level now.
Yeah, he could have got really, really hurt. Luckily, we have that rule, and which I don't like it. Obviously, it comes out. You know, we're talking about it today because of the play at Yachty, but I don't like the rule anyway, but it helped us out. There was one guy that was saying a lot of mean things about how the heck a Gold Glover do not tag a guy in that position, right? Well, first of all, when you're about to catch that ball, you know you're going to get drilled because you're right in the middle of the line. You're in the middle from home plate. The guy's coming at full speed, okay? And you know you're going to get drilled. All of a sudden, he's right in front of you. All you do is protect yourself. You catch the ball, you protect yourself. You think you're going to get hit. All of a sudden, that guy fly out on top of you. We're not expecting that freaking guy to fly out at all. We're thinking he's going to crush us. We're thinking he's going to bounce against us. So we don't think about the tag because the tag will happen on the hit. And and all of a sudden these guys fly over you, and you're like, holy crap, I didn't, you know, like, nobody's prepared for a guy to fly over you. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the best catcher or even the worst catcher in the league. You're not prepared for that. And I saw myself in there one time, and I got lucky. I tagged the guy out. You know, I tagged him, but it was because he was jumping over me on the side. So I had a chance to extend my arm and did it. But this one was right on top of Yadi, and Yadi's thinking probably he's going to get crushed. It's like, holy crap, these guys come in. I cut the ball. I'm waiting for the hit. All of a sudden, he jumps, and you're like, holy crap. You know, like, what happened? And he went over. I mean, those things, right. Those are freaky plays, and not everybody can.
Yeah, he.
The runner, not everybody runner can do it, or not everybody catching can tag a guy or nothing. You know,
it's just so an athletic play. Tip your cap. It was it was an instinctive athletic play that the guy makes. Again, I challenge people to get off the ledge and think about things. You can watch the replay and tell. Okay, Yadi looks like he's bracing to get crushed.
Correct.
And again, to your point, if he collides, his job as a catcher, and I'll defer to the Gold Glover here, but as a novice fan, a novice player that's a big fan, he's got the glove braced so that when he collides with him, he gets the out because he's going to run into him and hit the guy makes an athletic play. Great job. What can you do?
Right.
Yeah, can't do much about that one. I don't think so myself. He would have got me, but anyway, I'm going to put it this way. He would have got me, too. How's that?
Well, he would have got a lot of people, obviously. Yeah.
Well, I would have been the guy that probably got trucked because it happened to me. One of a, you know, hey, what was our line from Stripes? I got my nose broke in Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
Or Czechoslovakia. I got my collarbone broke once doing that. Benji, what was anything? Give us a story. You ever get trucked at home plate on a play like that?
Oh, my gosh. I've been trucked so many times. My worst one was in minor leagues. We don't have time to explain it. I got crushed. The ball, the throw was from the outfield, was very high, so I extended to catch the throw, and the guy hit me in the ribs, and I was out for 2 weeks. Then in the major leagues, I think you've seen a picture I posted up one time where Jermaine Dye tried to hit me away from the plate, okay? The plate is on my right, and I went for the bat throw, and he went out of his way to hit me. Hit me in my shoulder. I mean, obviously, kill me, you know, like hit me hard. But he broke his collarbone, so he was out for 9 months, right? Or something like that. I don't remember, 9 weeks or 9 months, whatever that was. But he broke his collarbone. And then 4 days later, we're playing Kansas City when Ken Harvey infield in, and he's at third base, and I'm thinking, please don't hit a ground ball. Please don't hit a ground ball. Please don't hit a ground ball. And sure enough, ground ball to the short. Here comes Ken Harvey. Bam! He drills me, man. He drills me. I roll over my head and everything. And he hurt his knee. And he was out for the year after that. So, but that tells you that, yes, we get crushed. But it's even more important to know that the runner doesn't have any equipment. The runner, he's coming to hit you. We have the mask on. We have the gear on. We have chin guards. And we're going to get you. And in these cases, those two guys got hurt, you know. But yeah, to your question, you know, yeah, I've been hit that many times and worse. One time, Dustin Moore broke my wrist in a collision at home plate. I've been hit that many times. I'm not afraid of getting hit or not. You know, I'm not afraid of that. I was afraid that I was not going to get the out. That was in my head.
All right. Well, give me a story where you gave somebody the business. They come sliding in, and you gave them a shin guard to the chin or the glove down hard up underneath the eye. I mean, I know you guys are dirty like that.
Well, I wasn't dirty, but I know a play that happens in Anaheim, and Jason Biratek was coming in. First, I was run around third, and I was going to score. I thought I was going to score easy because I saw him standing, and all of a sudden, he put his whole leg in front of home plate, and the ball wasn't even close, so I almost tripped and went over the plate, and I didn't say anything, to tell you the truth. I didn't say anything. I picked up myself, look at him. He didn't look at me, and that was it, right? But in the back of my head, I said, you know, I can't say it on the radio, but I said, hell with you, and you know, next time I get you, buddy, you're going to pay for it. So hey, man, next inning. I don't know why, but it happened next inning. He's at second, and my head is just bubbling, man. Like, okay, get a hit. I'm I'm going to get him. And they got a base hit to left, and Garrett Anderson threw the ball. Perfect, man. Perfect. And I'm standing like the ball's not even coming. I'm standing. So I'm walking forward because the throw was up the line a little bit. Dude, I went down on his chest. He was sliding way up front. I went and put my knee right into his chest while he was sliding, and I hit him with my glove and my hand. I pop him in the face, and I even just lay on him. Like, I stop him, and I lay on him, and I put the glove, and I rub the glove, you know, like wrestling. I rub the glove into his face, and I got up, and, you know, I was waiting for him to react, you know, and saying something to me, but nothing was said. He got up, he went, took his spot, and nothing happened. So I was like, I was surprised. I thought I was going to be yell or something, you know, we're going to have a fight or no, but never happened. But that was one of the times that I was thinking, holy crap, man, I got to do something to him because he tried to trip me and do something. It was pretty impressive. I mean, I never had that brain after that, or I never tried to hurt nobody. But and then I have the funny ones. will be appreciated for the fans. You know, Frank Thomas, you know, Mike Cameron, you know, Brian Jordan, right? They're right. former football players, right? And Prince Fielder. And here he goes, base hit up the center. And I'm like, oh, please don't throw it right to home plate. Don't throw it to home plate. Because these guys are boom, 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 coming right to you, man. And I got lucky enough that I never had a collision with those guys, man. But it was in the back of my head, like, wow, if I catch the ball, I don't know if I can survive one of those hits, you know, from these guys that are former football players. But it's funny because I was thinking, like, oh, shoot, man, if these guys come in, I'm done, you know. There's things out there that you think about, and, well, the game is going and stuff like that, you know. That's funny.
Oh, yeah. I mean, luckily, you know, there's a bunch of that in baseball. There's a bunch of individual battles, and guys remember things for, you know, sometimes it only takes the next half inning. Sometimes it might take forever that they always remember.
How you think Pedroia is going to slide into second base next time he goes out and play the Orioles?
Oh, yeah.
When that happens with Machado. How you think Pedroia will forget? Hell no. He'll going to go up to second base. Try to kill somebody out there.
Now, I remember you telling me, I don't think you ever had a chance to blow somebody up at second base. You were a little slow for that, weren't you?
Yeah, very, very slow. Not a little. You're my friend. You can say it. Thank you for being so kind to me, you know, saying that.
Well,
a little slow, but
you
very,
got
very
slower.
I never got to second base. I wish I had, because I was that type of guy. Like I told you guys before, I love the way Pete Rose played. If I was faster, I would play the game 150%. I would run everywhere like that. So, but no, I never had a chance to do anything like that.
That's good stuff, man. You just don't. That's the stuff I enjoy about this podcast. Is, you know, the Cardinal stuff. We beat that up, it seems like, show after show after show right now, just because they're down in the dumps defensively or they're not hitting. The record's still coming around, so you can't complain there. But I like the insight that BMO brings to the show here, Bud. What do you think, Jim?
Well, again, how do I put this? So when I met Benji, it was through something else. And when I floated the idea of doing this with him, it was purely A, because I know he enjoys talking about the Cardinals. Like, our conversations would be just like they are on this show, and he was very passionate, but yet also very open and honest. And you're always careful to, I guess, and again, I'm no media, I'm not like a media professional, I guess is the word I would use. But you're always careful to understand that a guy's just not going to come in here and just railroad guys like some people want him to do. Like, there's a lot of fans out there that want guys to just completely start blasting on guys and saying that this is not going to happen. But, again, to talk to Benji about it, the key was to have a guy – that has been there, been in the locker room, has been involved in all the things that go on. Catching in the major leagues is a little bit of a different position than most because you are majorly involved in everything that goes on. We've said it before. A lot of the great managers come from catching. They're so in tune with everything going on in the game. Now, that being said, if Benji wouldn't have been comfortable saying, hey, I don't mind giving you some background and insight, it would have been nothing more than Benji talking like you and I, just as a fan and giving his thoughts and opinions. But to be able to have him say, look, I've been there. This is what's going on. Now, I can't tell you exactly what's going on because I'm not in there right now. And you know, everybody, I'm sure, assumes that Yachty's calling up Benji every day telling him what they're doing. That's not the case. But
no.
Yeah, but the reality of it is, it's not much different from place to place in how they go about their business. It just isn't, because they're all seasoned and brought up that way. Now, some guys are better at things than others. Some guys recognize, everybody has something they're good at, right? Some guys recognize talent better than others. Some guys are better teachers than others. Some guys are better motivators than others. Some guys are blessed. There's the key word that I always say. Some guys are blessed with an organization that goes through a stretch where they have a lot of great prospects, or they have a lot of money and they're willing to spend on top-end free agents, or they have a mesh of both, which I think the Cardinals went through for a little while. They were blessed with these guys that came up that were doers, not maybe guys. Then they were able to go out and say, we need this piece, we need this piece. And sometimes they actually went out and got the right piece. And that's when we had magical seasons, a la Lance Berkman, players like that, versus when we went out and got guys that were maybes at best when we needed real players. And I think that happens to all clubs. But to be able to have
that,
go ahead.
Why don't you think, Jimbo, why don't you think that you get 35 years old and you're out of baseball, 36, when those guys are the ones that could help balance your team? Those guys are the ones that might be coming off the bench when your potential guys cannot perform under pressure. And these are the guys that 35 to 38 are the guy who can come off the bench and get a hit for you against a closer, or get a hit against a setup man, Andrew Miller or somebody like that. Why are they don't have more guys like that? Are they trying to save money? Are they trying to do other stuff? I don't know what they're thinking, but why can't you have a 35 or 36 or 37-year-old? They might not play every day, of course. That's fine, but at least you have them in the bench because of experience, and then all of a sudden you need them. These guys having trouble. Let's say Peralta was having trouble at third. All of a sudden you have this older man and you bring him in and you let him play third because he's done it. He's a veteran player and he's a good-ass player and he's going to give you a good time. But now you get to 35 and they push you off the baseball. I don't understand that one either.
Well, that's just, unfortunately, that's the business of it. And I agree with you, Bimo. I wish, you know, you almost say if you could go back and rewrite something. You know, what do they carry? 25 on the roster, right?
Yep.
Could you say, hey, I wish I had like 27, and two of those guys were what we deem veteran player coaches. You know, the old guy that could, you know, old 36-year-old guy, right?
I'd like to be that old.
Yeah. The veteran, the guy that's been in the league for, you know, 12, 14 years, that could come in and spell a couple of games or continue to work with those guys and it not be a roster spot or a huge financial impact like that. But, A, you got the Players Association, which isn't going to allow somebody to take a place like that. And you got the rules. And it's unfortunate because there are a lot of good guys that, quote-unquote, get put out to pasture at an early age.
Well, because isn't it, Benji, don't you agree? I mean, the biggest thing here, and I think everybody is aware of this, is it's the business model, right? The business model is for every young player we have that can contribute, and contribute in a big way, is a opportunity for us to go out and pay for a player at another position. I would think that would be the business model. So, for instance, you know, they're really not paying Grichuk a ton of money. They're really not. You know, they're not paying. So they can have Matt Carpenter signed to a bigger deal, or they can have this guy. Ledmus Diaz isn't making a lot of money. Some of these guys are not making, but they have some guys that are. So that's a balance that we as fans don't give a shit about, to be completely honest with you. We don't look at it that way. The GM has to look at it that way.
Yeah, they do, and that's why there's problems everywhere. That's why there's trouble in your organization or whoever it is, you know, that are doing that. We haven't seen a young team win the championship until last year. If you look at the championship teams that have won it earlier, they had their veteran players. They were stacked with veterans. They were stacked with veteran relievers, or they were stacked with veteran players. And go back to the Cardinals championships. How many young guys did you see in the Cardinals championships? Bring me one. One guy that you remember was a stud young guy in the Cardinals' last championship or the one before. You probably won't find it because what? They wouldn't have him. They had Scott Rowland before. They had Gene Edmund. They had all these, Reggie Sander, if I'm not mistaken. They had all these players that were veterans players, not young guys, veterans, and they made the championship. They got the championship.
Well, they had,
why do they have to bring that out? Why do they have to do the 35 year out?
Okay, well, they had young guys, but they had young guys, but they were sprinkled in, and that's what I was saying earlier. That's the difference. That's the difference. They were sprinkled in. You can't, when you start now, counting on those guys, that's when you get in trouble.
Yes, now it's different. Now you have the young guys playing with potential. My favorite word, with potential. They haven't done it, but they have potential to do it. And that's why you run into a little trouble. That's why you do it, because instead of having guys that will hit 280 to 300 for sure, because he's done it. No, you have a potential guy, and then you just throw a coin up and let's see what happens.
Right.
He has potential. But we'll see.
But on the back end of that, we have a very similar thing with the young guys. That there's a kid up in Pittsburgh right now, Austin Meadows. The Marte got busted for the performance enhancing. They want to bring this Austin Meadows up, but they're going to wait till, you know, sometime in May when his service year won't count against him, so they can keep him under a lower contract.
And that's the business part
that's
of
the
it
business
that
part,
we
right.
refuse to acknowledge.
But the business part is ruining the season. The business part of baseball is ruining their season, or is ruining their chances of winning a few more games that could get them into the playoff. And then when they don't get to the playoff because they needed two more wins, and they spend 2 weeks or 3 weeks waiting for these guys to get up instead of bringing him up, and right away he could have won those two or three games for you. But no, the business side of it gets you away from the playoff. You know what I'm saying?
Like, well, but
I don't understand any of that. Forget about the freaking business of it. I need my guy right now. I don't give a crap if he needs to be up in May because of the business or the whatever you want to heck you want to say. I don't care about that. I care about my team right now. He needs that guy because my superstar got suspended 80 games. I need one guy that can substitute him and win me some freaking games, man. That's what I need.
So let me ask you this question, Benji. I'm going to put you on the before we go. I'm going to put you on the hot seat a little bit, because again, I know that you would welcome an opportunity to manage, and I think you'd be a good manager. And again, you fit that profile and that bill, and with the knowledge and you know and the way you can relate to everybody and things like that. So I'm going to put you on that hot spot. I think the Cardinals are in a tough spot here. Number one, they don't have what I consider to be people on this active roster that you look at with any star power. Sorry, I don't see it. I don't see a go-to guy here. I see guys that can play. I see guys that'll work. I see all that, but I don't see that. So I also understand that from the business side, you know, everybody wants them to just start cutting guys and doing this. That's never going to happen, so people need to stop it. Okay? I look to the other end of it, and I say, okay, people are calling and wanting everybody to come up from Memphis. Well, people just assume that guys that are at AAA are going to come up here and dominate at the major league level like they're doing in AAA.
That's another potential.
I agree. Now, some people would say, well, but these guys aren't getting it done here. Now, that brings me full circle to what my real question is, and that's this. Are we prepared, less than a month into the season, to say, these were our guys, okay? Like, for instance, I caught a lot of hell last year because I questioned Randall Grichuk. Everybody told me I was crazy, that it was that they just needed to play him, okay? Now these same people want to replace him with Jose Martinez and call up Tommy Pham. So my question is, I listen, this isn't about me being right. I don't want to be right. I've said it on here before. If we're going to be any good at all, we really need Colton Wong and Randall Grichuk to be good. I'm just not convinced either one of them are very good. The problem is, and again, I've been encouraged by what I've seen out of Wong lately, so I have hopes for him. I've been encouraged by things I see out of Grichuk. But every time I get encouraged, I see them falling back into old things that I see. So that's my cause for concern. But at the end of the day, does it make any sense at all to say we were committed to this guy, and then 3 weeks into the season say you're out?
I don't think it makes sense. You either commit it or not. Like we talked before, like you commit to a guy, and I'm going to tell you straight up, April and May, it's perfectly clear of what they're going to give you. If they might catch fire later on. Yeah, there's some guys that catch fire later on, but if they're young guys and they haven't shown you anything in 2 months, wow, you better go out and you better probably feel the need to get somebody in that can do it for you, because you'll find yourself really, really low in the standings, and that's what we're trying to avoid. So I'll give him April, May. You know what? If you're a young guy and you haven't done it in that time, we got to move our pieces, man. We got to do something to spark this club, or we got to find a way to get players in here that are doers, you know, guys that are going to do it. The problem, you know, the biggest problem we have here in the Cardinals, in my opinion, obviously, this is strictly my opinion, is that the bottom part of the lineup strike out a lot. This is one of the main things that I think Grichuk is going to strike out. Even if he has a great year, it doesn't matter. Even if he has a great year, he's going to strike out a lot. Jerko is going to strike out a lot. Wong is going to strike out a lot. So when you have three guys in your lineup that is made up of eight, not nine, because you can't count the pitcher unless you win, right? But eight players in the lineup, and you're going to have three of those players that are going to have a strikeout per game or two strikeouts per game, I mean, that is really hard to overcome. I don't care which team you are. We're talking about the Cardinals, but any team, that Pirates or the Cubs or the Reds or whoever it is, if they have three guys in their lineup that strike out a lot, it's going to be really, really difficult. And we're seeing it. I'm not talking any crap. We're seeing it with our own eyes.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if we answered the question who to blame, because everybody wants to blame somebody. And that's purposely because I don't know that you can blame anybody.
Well, blame the players.
Yeah, well,
that's the easiest way. If you want to blame somebody, Jimbo and Steve-O, if anybody out there wants to blame somebody, blame the freaking players. I always took heat on my own self. I didn't need no fans to tell me that I was horrible that day. I didn't need nobody out there in the radio or in the media or in the papers to tell me I was horrible that day and I needed to make that catch or I needed not to strike out or I needed to put the ball on play. Or I didn't need anybody to do that. I took it on myself because I knew I was bad. I knew I made the pass ball that scored the winning run. I knew that. So blame the freaking players, man. They need to step up, and that's it. There's no babying anybody here. We're trying to win a damn championship, man. We're not trying to go and try to win a high school deal or a high school game. Forget that. We're trying to win a freaking championship. And if we don't take it up on ourselves, dude, come on, man. The players, they need to step up. They need to keep going. And I know they're working hard at it. They're trying to, You know, they're trying to make their best out of it and work their butt off. I know that. But when it comes to doer, you got to do your job. That's it, man. You have to do your freaking job. How else do you want me to put it?
No, I think that was pretty good. What do you think, Steve-O?
We got him fired up now.
Yeah, I know. I love it when I get him a little excited. Hey,
so let's switch gears. Just I know we're getting roar up against it. Bimo, what's your schedule this week? What's that look like?
Hey, man, my week. Oh wow, I've been riding the bike so hard, man. Because I know when I get over there for a couple of days, that's gonna be war, man. We got to go to the ribs. We got to get that burger that you make for me, man. That was unbelievable.
He missed the ribs. Steve-O missed the ribs.
No, we're going steak, buddy. We got the steaks. I got 21-day age steaks right now for you.
Oh, you guys got me doing Pilates. Can you believe that? Pilates, dude. I'm doing Pilates. Well, anyway, I get there on Monday, man.
Your wife has you doing Pilates. Let's be honest. Your wife has you doing Pilates, not us. Let's be honest.
Well, yeah, she knows what's coming. That's the
thing.
That's
right.
That's why she wants me to do Pilates.
Yes.
But yeah, I'll get there on Monday. I'll probably go to the game on Monday if I get there early. And then do the Tuesday, Wednesday game and leave on Thursday. I have to do that because I got to be back here for my girls doing something, you know. So I got to be back.
Family first, big guy. Family first.
Yeah, it's a short trip. But then... then the 29th, 30th, and 31st of May, I'll be out there too, and that'll be like 5 days or so. So it'll be better.
Well, good stuff, my man. And hey, appreciate your insight. Like I said, I guess I know you like to be a fan, and I know you also like giving your opinion. Sometimes it's not easy to say things that need to be said, and the reality of it is I don't ever want to put you in an awkward spot, especially to ever have to answer any questions. But the reality of
and
it
we're
is,
not criticizing anybody.
Yeah.
So I hope fans understand this that are listening. We're not criticizing anybody. We're just trying to see how we can make it better, how they need to perform, and they're in the big leagues. They need to do their job. I'm not saying they're gonna be perfect either. There's gonna be games and I made a lot of errors myself. I'm not trying to I never look any kind of perfect. But I tell you what, I was out there every day, and I did my job, man. I did my job more than 90% of the time, and that's what we're asking, you know? So we're not criticizing anybody. We love these guys, and I have a lot of faith in them. I know they're going to be good, man. I always have.
Well, good stuff, my man. Really appreciate you, as always, being on the show, and I guess we will we'll stay in touch with you, and we'll get our schedule ready to go. Sound good?
You got it, buddy. You got it. Thank you.
All right.
Guys.
Happy flight, BMO.
That is Benji Molina, brought to you on the M4ByYachty.com hotline. Man, that hour went by. We're already over an hour. That flew by. And again, you were right. He got a little excited there because, he cares. He's passionate. Again, he's a Cardinal fan, but he also has the background and the knowledge to know some things that are going on that we may take for granted. I'm about as frustrated as you can be watching a game. That game the other night, I'm just sitting there thinking, you got to be kidding me. I was so excited for a minute. It's just a roller coaster, man. That's the problem. That's what errors do to you. It becomes a roller coaster.
They compound. I have a very sneaking suspicion that Benji hit the nail on the head when he alluded to the guys are probably out in the field thinking, don't hit the ball to me. And that they're just hopefully it's just a slump. And maybe, you know, you were hoping that the play by Diaz the other night, the great defensive play, you know, spins around, gets up and throws. If he makes that bang, bang, maybe that propels him into, you know, 15, 20 airless games. But then it's a bad throw. It's not the glove part. Now it's the throw part. Then it's Martinez who, for all intents and purposes, are making the mistakes that a high school first baseman would. You know, he's not starting down, coming up through it. He didn't get off the bag to catch that ball to keep the runner on third instead of scoring and giving up the lead. So, it's, you know, it's not hitting cutoff guys. It's not being in the right position. It's a lot of things are starting to compound on us and quickly, and it's that plays not made is a big one too, Jim. And that's a heartbreaker.
How long have I been saying that?
You know.
I brought that up last year on the show and people thought I was crazy. And I'm like, pay attention to the plays not made. And again, I don't need stats. People are putting up, we're 30th. I don't need a stat to know we're awful defensively. What do I need a stat for?
Right. You can see it every time you see that third column on the box score. It's always got a number in it.
But you know what doesn't show up in that third box is the ones not made. It could be worse.
A lot worse.
So, hey, again, we're going to have to turn this thing around. I'm still going to watch. I'm still going to pull. I'm still going to hope. I'm still going to have faith.
You're at the end of the first month. You're 2.5 games back. The Cubs are, not doing.
They look human.
They look human. So, like we said, you had to make up 17 games if you wanted to win division. You had to make up one somewhere to get the wild card, but the Cubs look like they're going to fall off more than the 5 games that we anticipated, but it looks like we're not going to get the 5 games we wanted from our improved defense either.
Well, again, I don't have a great answer here for any of this other than I put it where it belongs, and that is on the player. I'm sorry. The bottom line is nobody's saying they're not good. Again, I use this on analogy with my own son. If you want to play shortstop here, you've got to be really good. Borderline great.
Right.
I don't want to hear about how that was a tough play. You got to make that play. What does Benji always say? I'm going to do my Benji. This is the big leagues.
That's close.
Not potential. This is the big leagues. Come on, man. How that was good. I can't wait for him to hear
that. That's pretty good.
Hey, because at the end of the day, they got to make those plays. I'm sorry. End of discussion. And I'll say it till the cows come home. I don't care. And they're working.
Well, this is our Thursday show, and it sounds like we're probably moving to a Tuesday show next week
to
get him in
it
studio.
Out to see what's going on and figure out his schedule and do all that. But one way or another, we'll get it figured out.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to talk him to come in on Sunday. Anyway, good stuff. Appreciate you as always being on. I know. We're going to be starting a thing with you next week with Supreme Lending. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going to do the Supreme Lending Hour.
we'll cut our commercial here.
Yeah. We're going to cut a commercial for you next week. I'm excited about that. Best commercial guy in the business with Brian Kroc. He's pretty good.
He's electric. I told him to bring his A game. I said, bring the A game today.
When you say he's electric, I think of the electric slide and Brian doing it. Let's not have that as a visual.
Oh, he's an electric slider. I guarantee it.
Let's not have that visual. That would not be good. Hey, thanks for listening. We really appreciate your support as we do each and every week. Don't forget to check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show. Facebook follows are appreciated as well. Just type in Two Birds on a Bat. The new Facebook group, Birds on a Bat. You're all welcome to join, all welcome to be a part of it, all welcome to share and read. And provide some great content for that as well. Special thanks again to RallyScroll.com, our good friend Nate McHenry, the Monday contributor to the show, the Cardinal Freak, and of course my friend Chris Lawless over at Cardinal Nation. For everybody here at LineupMedia.fm, we encourage you to check us out. We're the fastest growing podcast network on the planet. Make sure you check it out. You're a podcaster because you're listening. I guarantee you there's another show you'll enjoy as well. For my co-host Steve Flowers, for Fish, if we ever get him back, all work and no play, that poor guy. And Benji Molina, who will be back in town next week. We are Two Birds on a Bat. See you at the stadium.
Go Birds.
Today's show is presented by DaVinci Smart Drink. Order yours now at lineupmedia.fm/DaVinci. DaVinci, excite better thinking.
Need a mental boost? DaVinci Smart Drinks were designed with professional thinkers in mind. With key ingredients shown to improve cognitive function and increase mental energy, DaVinci Smart Drinks excite better thinking. Drink a DaVinci. Let it go to your head.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.